Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so glad that you are with us on our regular broadcast that happens here. It happens on Facebook, YouTube, as well as Periscope every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Central. And we talk about different topics related to special education and homeschooling. And this month of October, we're focusing on therapy specifically. And tonight, my special guest is Dr. Candace Freeman, and she is going to talk with us about handwriting and just everyday activities to improve handwriting. We don't often think about activities and handwriting going together because it's usually we see some child sitting at a desk and writing and thinking about handwriting. So she's going to take us outside that box, so I'm excited about that. So welcome, Candace. I'm glad that you're here with us tonight.
Hi, good evening, Peggy. Good evening, everyone. I'm so thankful to be here tonight. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, you are so welcome. I know you have a wealth of knowledge, and Candace has her own business. And you're just passionate about handwriting because you're...
it's kind of a lost art.
It really is. Can you tell us a little bit about how you kind of moved into that area of occupational therapy and just why it's something that you're so passionate about?
Sure. Well, I have about 10 years experience working for a local school district, and handwriting became my specialty. Really, handwriting is a lost art, and we all know from a clinician standpoint, you know, handwriting, it requires a lot of fine motor skills, and those are the muscles of the hand and wrist and things like that. And they don't even teach handwriting in curriculum and instruction anymore. So given that's going on, right, in the state of Texas, I'm in Texas, and in the state of Texas, they're no longer teaching it. They are trying to bring it back, but the past few years, that has not been an option. And I guess that they believe that handwriting is going to be learned through osmosis, and the expectations they have for a five-year-old for image of handwriting is just, it's quite ambitious. And I can remember growing up where we had those things like penmanship, but they don't have those in curriculum right now. So that's where we come in at Tears to Cheers Handwriting Clinic, because we want to promote and improve fine motor skills in children and handwriting as a result.
Awesome. Yeah. And I put your website down there. It's tears2cheers.com. And it's the number two. If you're listening on the podcast, you spell out the word tears and then the number two and then cheers.com. That's great. And she has a lot of information. We'll share in a little while just some of the specials you have as well. But I do want to know let you know if you're watching live, that you can comment and ask questions as we're going along and be part of our conversation. That's why we do this live. And so we just welcome you to do that, and we'll build whatever you send our way into our conversation. So I did not know that the schools in Texas kind of have moved out of that. Homeschoolers in general, penmanship is still high on the list. So it's that hasn't been a lost art there yet. But I know for kids that struggle with it, though, it's a real big temptation for mom to say, let's just boot this out the door.
Right. And even given, you know, we're kind of in a COVID state, parents are struggling with, you know, knowing where to start and resources and things like that. And that's one thing I'm so proud about our company with Tears to Cheers, because currently I am running a special where I can do a virtual evaluation or in person. My clinic is open evaluation for a handwriting assessment, and then from there we can create a plan of care to see where the child has issues. Is it letter formation? Is it placement? Is it spacing? Is it letter memory? A lot of children, they don't have the letter memory for alphabet. So is it more of that? Is it do they have visual perception issues and things like that? So for parents, right now is a very challenging time because they really don't know where to start. And that's where we've recently opened up a YouTube channel. So we want to serve as a resource as well to provide those resources to parents and families.
Yeah. Parents are getting a lot more involved, whether they're still in public school or they're homeschooling not by choice, or you know, whatever they're doing, and seeing some of those deficits. But like, you know, you just went through a list of things that I wouldn't know what was causing the handwriting skills. I would just say my child is a bad writer, you know.
Right.
And so to have somebody with that expertise to be able to distinguish those things is a great advantage, because then you're not just smacking your head against the wall going, why is what I'm doing not working?
Exactly, because we want handwriting to be an enjoyable experience for children, because so many times I see a child come into our clinic and they feel very defeated and they don't want to engage in handwriting. So we do different activities, such as, you know, some of the suggestions I'll provide tonight, using clothespins for different activities, stringing beads, things like that, that you can find within your household to make it more into a game and preparatory activities in preparation for completing handwriting tasks.
Yeah, that's so important. And it's kind of that, we talked last week about preschool and the essential part of being preschool being play, and how a lot of that's missed, and then it, you know, causes some of these issues and these activities that our kids just would have naturally done that they hadn't done. And then now we're expecting them to do schoolwork that requires these skills. So I was going to ask, you know, what are some maybe misconceptions about handwriting that may hinder a child who struggles with handwriting skills?
Wow, there are so many. You know, some that I can recall, you know, maybe the child, the presumption is the child is being lazy, the child is not trying hard, the child is uninterested. And so those are the biggest ones that I come across. And it may be that, yeah, the child is uninterested because of just the challenges that are being presented. So that's where I feel like occupational therapy really comes in, because we have to shape it in a different mindset for the child where they are engaged in the activity. And that's where those preparatory activities come in, and them focusing on the actual task of penmanship or handwriting.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put that. But yes, and unfortunately, that's like for every subject that a child is bad with. Those are the things we go to. Well, they're lazy. They're not interested. You know, they're
right. And it's none of that. It may be they don't have, like I said, the letter memory, the number memory.
Exactly.
They may get a rush to do task. It may be attention to detail. It may be they're suffering from something like ADHD or ADD. Where once you do the sensory strategies to kind of calm them down, such as a sensory diet, then you can focus on the task of penmanship.
Yeah, and next week we're spending a whole hour talking with two gentlemen about sensory diets, and how to create those for your homeschool. So
great.
That was a good plug. So activities. How do activities in general help with handwriting? Because handwriting is not an active activity, but yet it is.
Right. So with handwriting, you want to look at it that, as I mentioned, it's working on fine motor skills, and those are the small muscles in our hands. And with anything, with especially dealing with muscles and things like that, if you don't use it, you lose it. So you have to build it up. So doing simple tasks within the home, you know, like using a spray bottle to pull that trigger, that's developing those fine motor skills within the hand. Dealing with, you know, beans and rice and things like that, and putting small objects within that content, and for children to decipher what's in that. It's also working on stereognosis, just feeling from a kinesthetic standpoint what that possible object is, and working on the fine motor skills with muscles as well. So many things around the home that we can do, but it's really kind of like, if you don't use it, you lose it. And so it's just an ongoing thing. No one becomes perfect with handwriting overnight, but you have to work at it, and you'll see the difference for sure.
Yeah, I never even thought about handwriting in that aspect.
Sometimes where children may not see the games that they would like to see. And then for those particular children and students, we may transition to using a speech device or something like that for dictation and things like that, especially when they get in middle school. We also, as an option, like to transfer over to cursive, because cursive is shown to be more effective for note taking in middle and high school. So they may not be great at print, but cursive may be a quicker way for them to transition.
I've heard that before. That's good information for parents out there, because I think some parents just even almost skip the manuscript sometimes because it's so difficult for their child once
But I feel like everyone needs to learn to do their signature. I mean, even for a check endorsement, just for daily living. Right. And some people are like, well, I don't need to know cursive. But you really do, to sign off on a home or anything like that. A lot of things are electronic signature. But let's say the electronic signature is no longer an option and that you have to physically go in there and do it. It's a lot of children. They do not know how to do a signature.
And then just reading it. If somebody writes you a note or a letter, I mean, that's personal. You want to be able to read it.
Right. And I know also with the state of Texas, they, for standardized testing, they wanted all narratives to be in print because they just had a hard time reading the cursive. So they said, okay, put everything in print. But that's been a struggle as well as far as implementing the cursive writing or not into instruction, because I guess for them, when they're reviewing standardized testing narratives, it's illegible.
Well, that's an interesting fact. So much detail about handwriting that, you know, you think of handwriting, I just sit down and I write, and you have a wealth of knowledge.
It's come, like, the same thing for me. Like I said, tell the children, if you don't use it, you lose it. I mean, I have years of experience being a practitioner and also receiving my doctoral education. So I can remember being in OT, you know, school and just very green, thinking, wow, I have so much to learn. How does my instructor know all these things? So it comes in time, but we have to be patient, and we have to also be patient with our parents, because they're not clinicians, but they're doing the best they can, especially in the circumstances that we're currently in with COVID. So our Facebook and our social media and our Instagram does a really good job of speaking to the parents, letting them know, you know, take one day at a time and do the best that you can. But for any resources, definitely reach out to us and we'll serve as a guide to assist as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll get you those links for all those social media accounts. But it's basically Tears to Cheers Handwriting Clinic, I think, is what you can search on any of those and find you quite easily. And you've got a great social media post, way better than me.
Thank you. I really have to give that to my social media coordinator that's handling that. She's doing an amazing job with that. So
yeah, well, pass along. Yep, she's doing great.
I will.
Yeah. So let's dive into some activities that parents can do at home, and are they going to be related to specific things or just, you know, different parts of the hand?
Just whatever you have around the home. General. You know, you'd be amazed at what you have at the home that you can utilize. Like I mentioned earlier, if you have clothespins, you know, using clothespins, having them use their index finger and their thumb to work on a pincer grasp of opening and closing. Those are tweezers, things like that. You can have things from a sensory standpoint where they can work on handwriting and letter formation using whipped cream or using shaving cream and things like that, and put it on Reynolds wrap or Saran wrap, and having them go through that. Some children are very tactile defensive, but if they're not, I always recommend whipped cream, because more than likely they're going to bring it to their mouth.
So
whipped cream would be a better option to go. And, you know, anything that's kind of edible, and they can work on letter formations and things like that. You can use pasta, same thing for letter formation, using, you know, sticks, wiki sticks, for the spray bottles. Like I said, that's working on those intrinsic muscles of the finger and hand, as well. So, if you notice that your child is hyper in nature, you could do heavy activities such as, you know, wall push-ups and things like that, that kind of prepare their body and rev them down in efforts to do more oriented tasks like handwriting.
Right, because that physical exertion helps their brain to kind of focus a little bit more. That, yeah, those are some great ideas. So,
but there are tons out there, and if, you know, they reach out, if the parents feel free to reach out to me, I can give you resources and ideas of what to do. We are currently running specials, you know, for a handwriting evaluation, but I'm more than willing to, you know, just reach out to us on our social media, our email, and if you have any questions, we can really assist you guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, do you have any stories to share with us just of, you know, how activities like for the students you've worked with over the years and how they've maybe gone from the point of, I don't want to do this to, I actually, you know, handwriting is not as bad.
I have quite a few in my years experience. You know, currently I'm seeing a client and we're really big on games, and these are childhood games that I've worked with as well, like Hungry Hippo, you know, utilizing that. Once again, you're utilizing a pincer grasp, building those finger skills up, and very, you know, basic activities I did as a child, arts and crafts activity. Some of the children I work with, and I have to remind the parents, just ripping paper, the art of just ripping paper or folding paper also works on that wrist action and works on the second and third digits in your thumb. So I remember a parent sharing with me, you know, my child went from not doing that to now they want to tear up every magazine in the house and rip up every magazine and book. So you kind of have to do it in moderation to kind of pick with them.
Right.
You want to introduce and not introduce, because you don't want the child tearing up every book in the house, but they are in the process strengthening their fingers and their wrist muscles. So
yeah,
I guess it's give and take.
Just find some things they can rip. Oh, I never even thought of that as a strengthening
activity.
Yeah, so
construction paper, arts and crafts activities, things like that are very beneficial to children in developing those fine motor skills. And then what we also like to do is once we bring in the arts and crafts, we like to typically throw in a story or a narrative where the student can write a sentence documenting what happened or the activity or the task that they did.
So you kind of tie it in to that whole thing.
Exactly.
So they're
to bring it home.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, all right, well, what advice would you have to offer parents whose student may not be able to overcome some of the handwriting barriers because maybe they have mobility issues or muscle control issues, but they still see that maybe by the time they graduate from high school, they could, you know, write their name.
Sure.
And they still want that to be a goal. But, you know, how do they kind of approach that from a long-term perspective?
You know, my first thing for parents, like I mentioned earlier, I want parents to be kind to themselves and be kind to the child, and that every child is different. And you can't compare your child to the next child, especially, you know, given the condition or the deficit the child may undergo. So, you know, don't be hard on yourself, but look at the things that the child is able to do and try to promote those things. So, does my child have letter memory? Yes. As I mentioned, you may have letter memory, number memory, things like that. They may not be able to physically produce the written production, but there are other alternatives such as voice recognition and things like that. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you want them to be successful in school. You want them to be successful and functional in life. So if they don't get it one way, we need to find another way to do it. And it's totally okay.
Yeah, I think parents just need to hear it's okay. And because, yeah, I've even talked to some parents that, you know, they're well, my child is now 20, 21. How long should we keep going? I'm thinking, are they wanting to keep going?
Exactly. Maybe because should be done. It may be something. Exactly. Because it may be an area where you've tried and you may just need to take a break from it. It may be something that the child doesn't reach, but then to identify the areas that the child is demonstrating strengths in and kind of work on that and encourage and promote that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good point and very important for all of us to hear whatever our schooling situation is. Because when kids struggle, I think we do as parents take it very personally that we're failing in some way.
They're a reflection, right, because those children are a reflection of us and what we perceive things to be. But, you know, even the children I serve, I don't call them children with disabilities. I call them children with different abilities because we're all different in our own way. And, you know, I have my own quirks and kinks and like things to be a certain way, and that's okay. And we work on the strengths and we see what we can do with the deficits, but everyone is different and we need to really just like I said, for the parent standpoint, be mindful of that and know that it's okay.
Yeah, that's very good point. So so is there anything else that you want to share? I know I'm going to share this ticker on the bottom. It's some information you shared with us about some things that you have on your website.
Okay, great.
For instance, let me see, I got to go back to the beginning. But the
$50, we're currently running a special for handwriting evaluations are $50. Or you can use the $50 towards off of an 8-session special for handwriting seminar.
All right. And then you also have a webinar that people can contact you for?
So, yes. So feel free to call or email our website, tears2cheershandwriting@gmail.com. We have a webinar next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Feel free to sign up for that. And it's just giving the information, basically informational about our clinic, the services that we provide, and if you know you would be a good candidate for signing up your child. For me, any child that's demonstrating pre-writing or writing deficits would be a great candidate. We're able to do things, sessions virtually and also in-house as well. We take very
that's
good
awesome.
Precautions. We do temperature checks upon arrival for all parties, for family, parents, and for the child. I have a really cool thing that children go do. They demonstrate hand washing, all that, and then we start our sessions.
Yep, and you're in the Dallas area, correct?
I am. I'm in the Dallas, Texas area, in the North Dallas, Texas area, but we're able to do virtual sessions and consultations online as well.
Great, yeah.
And we're the only boutique handwriting clinic within the Southwest region of the United States. And really, a boutique handwriting clinic is very concierge-like. We provide one-on-one services. We have a parent waiting room where, you know, we have Keurigs, and it's very boutique-ish, and it kind of serves as a opportunity for parents to relax while the child is receiving those services. And then we meet with the parents after that, addressing the things that were addressed at therapy and their homework.
Awesome, because the parent then goes home and works on those skills.
That
just
continuation. Because there's only so much that we can do. So consistency and collaborating with the families is integral to student success.
That's very important. And I know our guest last week pointed out how different it is to deal with a therapist who is out of the school system versus one that's in the school system, because she said that's the one thing that most of the therapists within the school aren't given the chance to even interact with the parent. And so that it kind of loses that friction when you go and have your student do therapy and then they just get sent home.
Right.
And you have no idea.
Right. And we take a full approach because we also like to do reassessments at the end of our 8-session program to kind of gauge where they were at the beginning, where they're at the end. If they need additional services or things that the parent could possibly work on at the end of the program. But consistency is very key in student success.
Yeah, that's a good point too. And it's sometimes hard to be consistent, especially when you're trying a new schooling system for the year.
Absolutely. You know, right now it's a lot of challenges. And as I mentioned, and even on our Instagram page, you know, we encourage parents that, you know, maybe you didn't do everything today, but that's okay. But tomorrow will come and you'll address that the next day. So don't be so hard on yourself. It's okay. But just identifying that something needs to be done and going from there is the first step.
Yeah, that is really so important. And we can beat ourselves up about what didn't get done, but what did get done is what we got to focus on. So, yeah. Well, as we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to share with our viewers?
I think that's about it. Please go like and subscribe. Our YouTube channel is Tears to Cheers Handwriting Clinic. Please like and share our social media site on Facebook and Instagram, and our website, tears2cheers.com. We're running $50 handwriting evaluation specials, or $50 off of an 8-session program. You can also email us at tears2cheershandwritingclinic@gmail.com. I mean, tears2cheershandwriting@gmail.com to RSVP for your place and our seminar next Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
And we also had a, so definitely plug into those. Candace has some great resources. And Amy says, wow, great questions and answers. This will help my students and granddaughter. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I know we often just, that handwriting is just kind of that extra activity, but it's really not. And
and it can be really fun, you know, for children. I think it has such a bad rep at times, but you can utilize so many things around the house, even gardening, you know, getting those fingers into soil and things like that, working on those fine motor skills. That's a way to develop those fine motor skills and a preparatory activity. So you can do all those things. Also, like in our clinic, I made our walls I painted the walls with chalkboard paint. The children actually get to write on the walls, and that's working on writing on a vertical surface.
You gotta love that.
Like that. Right, so they love it, but they have to remember they can't go home and write on the wall. But they love it. But that's promoting, you know, forearm stabilization, wrist as well, and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's, we have to get out of the textbook, the workbook, and get movement involved with that. And it can be a whole lot more fun, especially for those students that, like you said at the beginning, you know, they just really struggle with that, and it kind of puts up that barrier. And you have to get beyond that. Fun things take down lots of barriers. That's definitely true.
If any of the parents or families have any questions or would like additional strategies they could work on within the home, feel free to email us as well.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, Candace, I thank you for your time, and thank you. Amy said they don't give us time to teach this in the public school resource room.
They don't. They really don't. And like I was just mentioning for the state of Texas, but there are a lot of other states that are going through the same thing, which is really sad, because they do need the time to teach handwriting and penmanship in school, because the children are not going to learn it through osmosis.
Amy, if you missed that was kind of at the beginning of our conversation, and it was a shock to me, definitely, that you know, it's just something that we grew up with in our generation, but not knowing what's being done in the schools anymore.
It's really sad. The hope is with education and, you know, people subscribing to our YouTube channel, we really address that issue with reintroducing penmanship and handwriting into curriculum and stating how our clinic can be beneficial to healthy students and children and families.
Yeah, awesome. Well, yeah, definitely check out Candace's resources at tears2cheers.com and also your new YouTube channel,
yes.
Tears to Cheers Handwriting Clinic. So, yeah, and then next week, which is something that we talked on just a little bit, we're going to talk with two gentlemen, and I wrote their names down, Jason Hesch from Lackey Kids and Matt Sloan from Sensory Fitness. They are going to talk with us about creating a sensory diet for your homeschool. And
awesome.
So that's going to be awesome. If you have no idea what a sensory diet is, then you really need to come and join us for that conversation, because it was new to me when one of my team members mentioned it. And I said, oh, goodness, we have to talk about that.
No, they are a game changer. So, yes, that's
awesome.
A great topic.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So, but thank you for your time, Candace. I know you kind of sandwiched us in between some crazy things. So
no,
we appreciate
you
taking that time out.
No, you're more than welcome. And as I mentioned, if any of the viewers have any questions or would like to reach out to the clinic, please do so. We're running really great specials. We're putting up content on our YouTube channel. We have a tour of the facility right now. A welcome message for me as well. And we're just really excited about getting these children back on the penmanship journey.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's a really good pursuit. And Candace is also one of our SPED homeschool partners. So her information is also on our website. If you look under curriculum, you'll see her information right there under handwriting, and I think therapy as well. So, awesome. Well, thanks again, Candace. And thank
you
all.
Thank
you all for joining us. We've got quite a few viewers and for your comments. And so, yeah, I guess we will see you next time. Make sure that you check out all of our resources here at SPED Homeschool. And remember, we are a nonprofit and that you can make a tax-deductible donation anytime on our website, so to support our efforts in helping support families who homeschool special education. So thanks, everybody, and we'll see you again next week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.